You are listening to Concert Blast.
Will you welcome Cheap Trick?
Ladies and gentlemen, from Funk Rock Georgia, Meadows Finer.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
Here's the group you've been waiting to see, Grand Funk Rock!
If there was ever a musician who was an honorary member of San Francisco society, Mr. Peter Frampton.
You wanted the best and you got it. The hottest band in the land.
The hottest band in the world. Kiss!
Tennessee, I do believe it's fine, some fine, double time, all mine, a little bit of rock and roll, a little bit of here, a little bit of there, a little bit of tomorrow, and the night after that, we're gonna do it too, we got to do it too, we got to have it every night, we got to do it too, Jimmy, I fall down on the pavement, you hear me talking at you.
As I told everybody last night, I was reading Rolling Stone where they said Detroit audiences are the greatest rock and roll audiences in the world. Let's take it easy, okay? Let's not get anybody get hurt, all right? We'll rock and roll for you. Come on. Let's just take it easy up front here. Can we rock and roll you one more? Can we please rock and roll you one more?
Listen, I want to tell you you've been a dynamite audience and you deserve to give yourselves a round of applause. Let's go.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Concert Blast. This is Brian Hasbrook along with
Mike Arnold
and Tom Thompson, guys. What's going on? Well, we were just sitting around discussing a few things. What were we discussing?
This show is going to be dedicated to live performances. As a matter of fact, it's all the live CDs.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, you know one thing we didn't mention yet? Happy New Year, guys.
Hey, Happy New Year, everybody.
That's right, man.
First of all, we want to say thank you for the great year of 2006. What a wonderful time we had, everybody.
Boy, you said that right, Mike. Man, we had just a wonderful year, and hopefully 2007 will be better.
I think it will be pretty good because it's already starting off on a good note. We got some shows already lined up, and we're ready to hit the road, bud.
That's all we need
is a sponsor, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our last show of the year was, of course, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band.
Yes.
And I tell you, all we need is a venue and a sponsor.
It'll get us to places we want to go and help us pay for tickets, too. How about that?
And so you can enjoy the live experience along with us. As you hear, we do get the crowd involved.
That's right.
I tell you what, I challenge any promoter out there. We could be your host to any show.
Absolutely.
We could get that crowd going. And Brian, sit down in the photo pit.
Could be mic'd down in front. Trust me, those people want to talk to me when I walk.
Well, it's a smart thing because, especially if we can get the show at the first of the tour.
Oh, yeah.
It'll get people all around the world, especially if it's a world tour, to want to go see the show. So it makes sense. So, hey, that's a great idea there, Mike.
Yeah, we could be better than any opening act. We could get the crowd going.
Oh,
no doubt, man. We get those people singing. I mean, you've heard many of our podcasts that these people just go crazy. They come to us after a while and want to sing.
Check out Bob Seger Conversations. Check out Alice Cooper Conversations. Check out the beginning of the Sheryl Crow
That's
show.
What I was fixing to say. Sheryl Crow, man. Look out, man. That's
we had the crowd going.
Crowd.
Oh, Hank Williams Jr.?
That's right. Train?
Oh, guys. They think you're giving away free stuff.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, let's get on to our show. Our show tonight, as we said before, consists of live albums. What's your favorite live album? We have an email already when I mentioned this that we might be doing something. Kat from Chattanooga says, you better mention my favorite group. And y'all, who's her favorite group, everybody?
Cheap Trick.
And you better mention Live at Budokan.
I tell you what, this is the album that literally put Cheap Trick on the map.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Well, they had three CDs prior to that, but that one put them over the top. That's no doubt.
They got our attention. Right.
That broke them international. And imagine you record an album in Japan, and it breaks you all over the world, including back home.
Yeah, that's true.
And what's great about these guys is all original band members still. Now, how many bands can you say that?
Well, they did have a little personnel change for a little while.
Today, they're back.
But they're
original.
Back to the original band members.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. So, Kat, you're right, man. It's definitely one of our favorite albums, too.
Now, what is this, January of 2007? She's probably already seen Cheap Trick three times this year.
Probably right. If they toured anywhere, she's there.
Well, Kat, thank you so much for the email. What else we got on this on this table? Man. I remember one time we went to a show in 2006 in the summer, and as the lead singer was telling everybody goodnight in Nashville, he says, we've recorded live albums here, and who are we talking about right there?
Poison, man.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know if this album was recorded there or not, but it's your album, so you just talk about it.
Yeah, I tell you what, Bret Michaels, I tell you what, man, he just went crazy and wild, and I tell you what, just by even just looking at the CD cover, you can tell that these guys have nothing but a good time.
I tell you what, one thing about Poison, they always put on a very good live show, but there's a lot of guys that end up living here, if not permanently, for a little while. Bret lived here for a while. Mm-hmm. Ricky Rocket lives here because I've seen him at shows around town.
Mm-hmm. And see, Bret Michaels tried to do a country.
Well, he did for a while. He was actually playing in some clubs.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually on tour again, by the way.
By himself. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he played a place called The Wheel on Lower Broad in Nashville.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He played Exit Inn several times, too. Yeah. Okay, what else we got here? Here's one that we were all on. We were right down front, up against the rail, and right before the lights went down, we heard the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's performance will be recorded live for a live album. We went nuts.
Yes, that was.
Then we noticed their big, tall microphone stands on each side of the stage, just pointing all the crowd. We looked out in the audience, and there was microphones hanging down from the ceiling. And I went, "Oh, this is going to be good!" And it is a great live album.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely wonderful. Of course, I could hear myself out there screaming, too. I'm like, there's me screaming there, man.
Yeah,
I believe that's me.
And what's the name of this?
This is what's called Gonzo Double Live.
Ted Nugent.
Absolutely right. And what I love about it is the very first song, Just What the Doctor Ordered, guess where it came live from?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. we're just so excited, and like Mike said, it is recorded absolutely wonderful. I'm trying to dig through here. There's
about four or five other towns it was recorded in.
Yeah.
But primarily, it was here.
Yes.
If anybody wants to challenge me on that, you're wrong. But it was primarily here.
Because this is Brian's show.
This is our show, and we're doing the work here.
You're exactly right, Brian. I want to say almost half the songs on here came from Asheville.
But you know what I like so much about that? He had the best singer he's ever had on that album.
Hey,
who is it, guys?
Doing St. Holmes, baby. That's
yes.
right, which we got the great pleasure to meet last year.
And I tell you what, we're going to go see him again this year.
Yes,
we're going to visit old Derek down in Atlanta. And if you ever get a chance to see Derek St. Holmes do his club set down in Atlanta, go down there. He's there at least once or twice a month. And if you're in Atlanta, just look up DerekSaintHolmes.com. Go see him. It'll be well worth your money.
And you will hear the voice of Ted Nugent.
And you'll hear all Ted's songs that he sang even.
That's right. He doesn't even play those
two. I hate
to
say, you probably hear him play it a little bit better.
And the guy can play the guitar.
Oh, yeah.
He said Ted wouldn't let me play.
That's right. I think he got a little scared or something there.
Ted's got a little competitive nature about him.
Yeah.
That's right. He's all right, though.
But I have to say, I think what really turned me on to live albums was probably the first album I ever heard from this group, and it is Grand Funk Railroad.
That's not fair. I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, I know. Brian's up there. Man, you jumped on that one.
That's okay. It's way back. It's 1970, I believe.
69 or 70.
Wow. They covered it Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Yes.
It is one of the most beautifully blasting raw.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. It's raw.
Raw and fast, right?
Oh, yeah. Are you ready?
And Don Brewer plays TNUC. Your ears can't believe how fast his arms are going.
I can tell you, that man can still play that speed.
You'd have to kind of wonder how old he is when that was recorded.
When that was recorded, yeah.
He probably had been 21, 22 probably.
Maybe.
Well, yeah.
That's when he had the Ferro and it stood up all by itself.
It didn't need anything to hold it up, did it?
Oh, man. And he had those big old lamb chop kind of sideburns back then, man.
Also came out with another live album back in 1975.
Yeah.
Well, what was that called? Called The Act.
Very good, Mike.
All right.
Mike's and they started research. Out with foot stomping music. They had more of the hits then, foot stomping music. But what I also liked is they did Give Me Shelter. I love how Grand Funk Railroad did Give Me Shelter by the Stones.
Tell you what, this is another band that really, I think, started off their big hits and really got recognized. That band would be Bon Scott with AC/DC.
Wait a minute,
let's back this up. Bon Scott with AC/DC.
That's exactly right.
Oh,
man.
Tom is such a big Bon Scott fan that he thinks that's the group.
You're right,
back
man.
Back in Bon Scott up. Yeah,
that's right, because, you know, I have not seen AC/DC with the new guy. I won't mention his name.
The new guy's been on the road with him for over 20 years.
That's right.
Longer than
nearly
Bon 30. Scott was.
That's okay. You're right.
Well, I got to tell you, I agree with Tom. I got to tell you, I've got nothing against Brian Johnson, but Bon was the man.
You liked him, didn't you?
Oh, man. I saw him a long time ago. Still got some shots tucked away somewhere.
I tell you what, all you have to do is play their first AC/DC live album. I'm going to give you all a challenge out there in the world, okay? Literally, I want you to play one or two songs out of their first live album, which is If You Want Blood, You've Got It.
Let them be drums. Let them be strums. Let them be guitar.
and then go to their newest live AC/DC, which is basically called AC/DC Live with Brian Johnson, and compare those lead vocals.
I gotta tell you, I don't think it's fair to compare them. It's really not. I mean, you got two different styles. And I gotta tell you, when Bon Scott died, I thought that band was dead.
Oh, yeah, I did too. I have to say, I did too.
I gotta say, I was very happy for them when they rose from the ashes to have the best-selling album and actually a classic rock album, Back in Black. Well, I can tell you, I'm looking across the table because what we've got here, guys, is a bunch of live CDs spread out before us. And they cover quite a few years here, probably a good 25-plus years. And the one I see that really hits me is a band I truly miss all the original members because one of them is no longer with us.
Oh, I know what you're about to say.
That is Queen.
Yes.
You are right. Live Killers. And I believe we all saw them on the Live Killers show.
We did see the Live Killers show.
Yes, we did. That's when they started off with We Will Rock You. In a very fast motion, I said, I love how they're doing that. I didn't know the song when they started off.
It was fast.
When he started singing We Will Rock You, oh, man, I loved it.
Yes, we definitely missed you, Freddie. And I tell you what, I mean, that's one of the best-sounding live albums out there.
We talked about the Live Killers album, and, you know, we barely touched on that. But they had a second one, Live at Wembley, which was not only a live recording, but a DVD of the live performance. And if you ever heard them, you would love both of them.
Yes.
They are different, but they are both fantastic.
I love the big stadium crowd on that Wembley.
And those of you who have missed the opportunity to ever see Freddie Mercury live with Queen, I'm telling you, there's never going to be another performer like that man.
I agree 100% there with you, man.
You talk about a guy who could command a crowd,
yep,
hold them in the palm of their hands, and have them do whatever he felt like doing.
Love of my life, you've hurt me. You've broken my heart, now you leave me.
Since we're speaking about Queen, when we saw Queen, who opened up for man?
The first time we saw Queen.
The very first time.
Yep.
That was a band I dearly miss also.
Yes.
He's along with Lizzy.
Yes.
Tonight is going to be a jailbreak. All right, guys, here's a trivia question. Fourth song on here says Rosalie. Who wrote it?
Bob Seger.
Ah, you're the man.
Thank you very much.
Brian wins the prize.
Dual guitar lays some of the best stuff you ever wanted to hear.
You got, and they're one of the first bands that came out with dual lead guitars also.
And boy, I can tell you, I've missed that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, buddy, you got that right. Those boys were definitely back in town, weren't they?
Guess who just got there today? Their wild eyed boys did a bit away. Haven't changed, had much to say. Man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you make your living downtown, driving all the old and crazy. The boys are back in town.
Boys are back in town.
I see
it's a great live album.
You know, sometimes there are artists who are just fabulous in concert, but when it comes to producing a live album, it's not worth listening to.
I know where you're going there, Mike. I know.
There are two of our favorite live performers just don't have good live albums.
No.
Here's what I'm going to say. Ready? Aerosmith.
Aerosmith and
Alice Cooper. But I will say the DVD that Alice Cooper has out on the last one. Live at Montreux, the Dirty Diamonds Tour. That is recorded.
Oh, that's
good.
That is great.
And also, I tell you what, man, the DVD that came out before that, Brutally Live, is good too, man.
I've heard Welcome to My Nightmare on the DVD, and that sounded good, too. He's good at putting out DVDs, but I don't know
what it is. I guess he's a bad sound man or something there. A real bad sound man.
I don't get it.
Aerosmith, we're still waiting on you to put out a good live album.
Yeah, maybe you'll have to do it in a DVD. I don't know.
I tell you what, because Steven Tyler's voice is still getting it, because we saw him just a precious few months ago. Guys, remember at the beginning we mentioned how we closed out the end of the year seeing Bob Seger, which was great seeing Bob Seger and Silver Bullet Band again. But this gentleman and his band put out not one, but two fantastic live albums. That is one, Live Bullet.
That's a classic.
And two, Nine Tonight. Another Silver Bullet Band live.
Oh, yes. Man, it doesn't get better than that, I'm telling you guys.
Yeah, there are both of those are just excellent, excellent live albums.
And they're currently on tour, and if you got the opportunity, you better get down to that hall, brother.
In the heat of the day, down in Mobile, Alabama, a wagon on a railroad with a steel driving hammer, trying to get some money, get some brand new shoes, trying to buy a lady, chase a women.
If you hadn't heard our review of that show, man, you got to get on it, man, because it's right there on our website.
Yeah, Bob.
Let's go ahead and mention your accolades about that.
That's right.
Go ahead. I'd like to hear it again.
You don't mind hearing it from us, do you?
ClassicRock.about.com. They sent me an email, and they said, we loved your review on the Bob Seger show. We're going to do our own review, but we need pictures. Can we use some of yours? Brian was gracious enough to say, use mine. Hey, but put my name on it.
That's right. That's the only stipulation. You got to put my name on it, along with Contra Blast.
Yeah, and so they gave us some links and put Brian's name on it, and they got two of Brian's pictures that he took. And
Guys, check it out.
It's good.
It's really good pictures there. And, I mean, I tell you what, it talks about Bob Seger being one of the biggest tours by far of last year and the beginning of this year. And it's great. We saw him.
Well, I can tell you, he about packed out our place. I know by within 2 hours, there was only like a couple rows left in the top of the arena that held about 20,000 people.
Yeah, here in Nashville.
Nashville.
Oh, yeah, it was sold out.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Detroit, where About.com reviewed the show, they also said that they were filming and recording.
And that was the Palace at Auburn Hills.
That's right, in Detroit, yes.
I think the most cleanest sounds of any live album that I've heard is Elton John live in Australia, guys.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man, it is just
what we got on that.
Clear. It's a long CD, but he's got some of his best hits on there, but there's not a, you know, it's not like a greatest hits live.
Seems to me you live your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when the rain set in. Would you like to love you, but I was just a kid. The candle burned out long before your legend ever did.
This band, Mike and I saw for 99 cents.
Oh, yes.
Whoa.
Back in 1975.
And I'm still waiting on my penny back from the dollar I gave.
I gave him mine.
That was some money back then, wasn't it?
That was, any band I could see for a buck's all right with me. And this band turned out to be Kiss.
Yes.
Wow. What was the name of that venue there, Brian?
It was called Mother's.
How about hey, Brian, that? I ran into the promoters. They said, here's the interest.
Oh, man, I got a dime back from 30 years ago.
Wow.
32.
Tell our folks out there, what was it like to see them that early in their career?
Well, I can tell you, and Mike probably can too, when we saw them, you could actually look in there through the windows and see them warm up.
Yeah, without the makeup.
And we all, Mike and I said, they sound pretty good, man.
Wow.
But they were just standing there playing. Then they came out, and I was dating a girl that never heard of them before. They only been out a month.
I was fixing to say.
That first album has only been out a month. And for her first words out of her mouth were, oh, my God!
I believe that.
But when Gene spit up his blood, She passed out.
Wow. And, I'm sure she probably wasn't the only one either.
That was worth a dollar.
That we all learned a lesson not to ever take a girl to another concert.
Wow. Yeah.
But I got to tell you, that was the beginning of a bunch of great live shows, and this band has put out some of the best live recordings, sometimes manipulated the sound.
Yeah,
that's
the
okay.
Recording.
That's okay.
I can live with that.
I can too.
I'm with you, man.
Because the end product is fantastic.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. All three of their live albums sound like a live album, but that one, it just grabs you holds on to you.
It kind of reminds me of us. You know, because when you hear it, you bring in the show to you live, and you feel like you're there live. I mean, it's recorded that good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can never, ever say I saw this band and was disappointed seeing them.
I agree, man. And we saw them probably live more than just about anybody else.
I would think Mike saw them more than us, because, I mean, I lived out of town here for a few years, and Mike might have saw them.
I think I've seen them about eight or ten times.
I think you've seen them without that makeup deal. I never saw them without the makeup.
I saw them on the tour when I was in Miami. Saw them on the without the makeup.
I think I saw them the first tour that Eric Singer was on with them.
Yep, I saw that one too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I tell you, they've had some changes in personnel. Right now, I think Eric Singer's with them. Is Bruce Kulick back with them too?
No.
No.
Kiss is, you know, Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no doubt. That's like your basic Jagger and Richards and Tyler.
Yeah,
and everybody else is just a plus.
Can't do without them. That's right. Every time that somebody drops off, then they're not the same band.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't care what you fuss about the original members. It's those two's got to be there.
Those are the two staples. They got to be there or it don't work.
Oh, yeah. And if either one of them's gone, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
You can tell it doesn't work.
They got to be together.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Speaking of being up close.
And personal. Mike.
Me and Brian went to see this show. Mike, for whatever reason, I can't remember, is probably 25 years ago.
I didn't know his music that well back then.
Exactly. This guy is so big, but me and Brian saw him on the second row at the Municipal Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee. And
in 78 or 79.
Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Yes. Yeah. It was that tour.
And we were front row.
Oh, it was unbelievable, man. And who are we talking about? Bruce Springsteen
and the E Street Band.
Yes, I'll tell you what, man.
Even back then, he went up and down that crowd, up the rows, and just everybody's patting on him. And I tell you what, it didn't matter. I wouldn't say that probably what maybe holds 10,000. We might have had 5,000 there. It didn't make any difference to him.
You got the same show.
You better believe you got close to
a three-hour show. The stage came down to the crowd. They came down to the crowd. There was at one point, and Tom can vouch for me, Clarence Clemons was right in front of me. Yeah. I had my hand on his back while he was playing a saxophone.
His sweaty back, I'm sure.
I live with it, man.
That's right. We were all sweating.
I'm okay with that.
That's exactly right, man.
Didn't you take some pictures and lost
the camera locked up?
Oh, you wouldn't have to remind him of that, would you?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it.
Wouldn't that be great to have those photos today?
Yeah, it would be great. Kind of like that shot of Ian Anderson that me and Tom got.
This don't go there.
We're talking about classic drummer.
Some people I got to beat up in Atlanta about that. But let's not go there because that ticks me off.
Let's not go there.
All right. I'll tell you about one of the biggest selling live album in the history of the world.
We got to hear it again.
Okay, but I want our fans out there, just give them a few seconds to think about it. This is the number one live album. Who could it be, folks?
And I'll tell you this, too. It came close to hitting as many sales as Thriller.
Whoa.
Oh, boy, is that a great comparison.
we're only talking about album sales.
Well, wait a minute. We also, you point out that this gentleman was also
a Nashville resident for a period of time.
And he was. Yes. He's British, and he came from another one of our favorite groups.
Humble Pie.
Oh, yes.
Who are we talking about?
Peter Frampton.
And Frampton comes alive, man, I'll tell you.
I was never so sick of hearing a live album in my life as I was this.
It had a lot of airplay,
but
didn't
you got to say, when you go back and listen to it, it is great.
Come on!
And again, yeah, that's another band that you didn't hear them until it came out with a live album.
I think you're right on that. I remember the big poster cardboard cutout in the record stores when that came out. And I was going, who is this guy? I don't know, but a lot of people lining up to buy them.
Yeah.
The media sold this out. They sold to the public before it even hit the store.
Well, because he recorded that in like a 5,000-seat hall in San Francisco.
Winterland.
I think it was called Winterland.
Winterland, yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if that place exists anymore because I've never been to San Francisco.
Yeah.
In a 5,000-seat hall. The next summer, he was playing 80,000, 60,000, 50,000-seat stadiums.
Yes. Here's a band that Mike and I went to go see. I don't know where Brian was. You know where Brian was?
No, just you and I went to St. Louis to see Styx at Busch Stadium.
Yep.
And I was mad.
Yep. And okay, we're going to test your mind here. Who was the opening bands, Mike?
The opening bands. Okay. Eddie Money.
Yep.
And Blue Oyster Cult.
Yep.
The headliner was Styx. But there was another band that one of the main reasons we went there to see this band, Angel.
Tell you what was so cool about it, guys. I know not too many people know about Angel. Their live album is Live Without a Net. I tell you what, they dressed in white.
Satin.
And I tell you what, man, I can remember driving up to the show, and me and Mike were running because we heard them playing.
Yes, we did.
And Eddie Money was supposed to open first, and for whatever reason, he was running
late. They had a show that night, and he wanted to...
Yeah. So
yeah,
Angel
places.
Came on first, but that was a fun road trip.
We had a great time that night.
We sure did.
We liked every band. I mean, we were fans of every single band in that
show.
We
knew all the words. It was phenomenal, no doubt about it.
Down front.
There is another band from that same period.
Who's that?
It's a band that's excellent guitarist. Excellent, excellent. Frank Marino
and Mahogany Rush.
I guarantee that.
Yes. That was a great live album.
Yeah, they do have a live album. You're right. Oh, you had it.
It's great.
Frank could play that live. He could play that lead and sing at the same time.
Well, down in Louisiana, down in New Orleans, way back in the woods and by the Everglades, in a long cabin there on the road, then the country barn ain't trying to be good.
I don't know what ever happened to these guys, but they were a great band.
They were excellent.
I do miss them because we saw them at least three times.
Several times.
And they also did a lot of Hendrix stuff. And he had that style, a Hendrix style. But if I were also remember that every time they came around, they had an opening act that seemed to follow them around. And they had a live album out called Mother's Finest Live.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Mickey's Monkey. I tell you what, because we saw them maybe three or four times, too, and we just knew we were in for a boogie-woogie show, man.
They were so much fun.
Oh, they were. It was a blast.
Well, I think the first time we saw them, they opened up for AC/DC, didn't they?
Could have been.
Yeah, it's at Tennessee Theater, yes.
That goes way back, Brian.
They were so much fun.
Yes.
And I think they're still around today. And if they are, send us an email. We'll come see you.
If you want to classify the music, kind of power funk.
Yes.
Very good, kind of a little bit of a jazzy sound, but more funk.
Yeah.
It was great. But The Who, they have a very Live at Leeds.
Live at Leeds.
I'm a working class summer, just a child of a dollar. Well, I went to the basket every day. But if I said,
that's how you got a working lead.
Sometimes I wonder how I'm gonna do. There ain't no cure for the summertime.
Yeah, Mike and I saw The Who.
What year was that, Brian?
That was 78.
And it was the original guys.
The original band members.
I thought it was 76. Are you sure it was 78?
I think it was, because I was like, okay. Well, ask me to go.
Yeah.
Somebody help us get the year right. Mm-hmm. The Who by numbers.
There you go.
Yeah, get us an email on that.
And I can tell you, God, that was a great show. I don't care.
Yeah, with Keith Moon. He made that show.
Keith Moon. And here's a guy that never got the credit he deserved, John Entwistle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're
what
right.
A bass player.
Yes,
if you
sir.
Never listen, listen more closely to some of their stuff. He is a fantastic bass player. Fingers you could not even see moving across the strings. He was so great. Keith Moon never got credit.
This guy came to town at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium, and I said, you know what? I kind of like his music. I've never seen him live. Tom, you want to go with me? Yeah, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
You know anything about him? I like his music, okay. Let's go see what this guy's like live. Who else was it? Brian Adams. And man, oh man, he's got a live album called Live, 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 and it's just like a duplication of what he's like live.
You better believe it.
He gets the crowd to singing by just pointing.
But Mike, you're exactly right. Brian Adams really wants you to sing along with a lot of his songs, and he really was pushing that kind of fun in his live shows, and it was great.
Come on.
Tell you, one time he came to Nashville at Riverfront Park. It was some kind of free show. Yeah. I don't know who it was sponsored by, but it was a free show outside. He grabbed people out of the crowd,
put them on stage
to play Summer of 69.
Yeah. Oh.
He says, this is Nashville, Tennessee. I know there's musicians out there. Who can play the drums? Several people raise their hand. I remember.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they would, man. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Great show.
Yeah, but he was like, oh, this is great. Where else can you go in the world and just pull out the band from the audience?
Here is a guy that it came from Nashville. That's the name of the live.
Oh, we're going to get into the Nashville acts, huh?
It's Webb Wilder. And he kind of hit the circuit there for a while there. But I tell you what, he was huge in Nashville.
He still is.
And it's on the club circuit.
Absolutely. And this is probably the rarest live CD that I have out there. And tell you what, guys, if you can find it, it is absolutely fantastic.
And what's it called again?
It's called It Came From Nashville.
I got a nice apartment, got a window with a view. I get up every morning and I go down to the pool. Everybody's pretty, everybody's nice. Everybody's got a little something on ice. I never go swimming because that ain't cool. Every day you're gonna find me hanging around the poolside, baby. Laying in the sun with my dark sunglasses and the radio on. Then it'll change loud, breeze down, turn it round, let it hit 103. I'll be poolside if you're looking for me.
That is Webb Wilder, and I tell you, he's got some great. He's very distinctive. If you ever heard Webb Wilder, you recognize him.
Yes.
And you know what the thing is? Me and Mike talked about the other day that Webb Wilder is literally an act.
Who is Webb Wilder? Webb Wilder is the last of the full-grown men. The last of the boarding house people. A four-eyed guy who doesn't smile a whole lot, but doesn't frown much either. An outsider who feels as though he's on the wrong side of the tracks, no matter where he's at. a guy who knows every thrift shop and plate lunch joint in town. Webb Wilder is an electrifying artist. Of course, everybody knows the Webb Wilder credo, don't you? You gotta work hard, rock hard, eat hard, sleep hard, grow big, wear glasses if you need them.
If you ever get listen to an interview of Webb Wilder, and I really want to interview this guy.
Yes.
Because he even puts his character on interviews, because you're interviewing Webb Wilder. But speaking of Nashville, and another guy that lives here in Nashville can really pack out the club circuit and the small theaters.
You better believe it. And that's no other than Delbert McClinton.
Yes, sir.
And I was very fortunate to be able to be in one of his videos. You can't quite see me, but, you know, great live. He plays that harmonica live. He sounds great live. And, guys, if you ever get a chance to see Delbert McClinton, he is fantastic.
2 in the morning, too hot to sleep. Tossing and turning, twisting a sheet. I feel an old weakness coming on strong. Window wide open in the back bedroom. Smell of sweet honey suckling for food. Feel an old weakness coming on strong.
All right, guys, here's a trivia question.
Okay.
Who did he teach how to play the harmonica?
John Lennon. Yeah, that's exactly right. Sure did. How about that
one?
Wow. How about that one?
I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to end this show, and then we're going to pick it up on the next show. What do you say?
I think it's a great idea, Mike, because we don't want to leave a few of these bands out that y'all be calling us up, or not calling us up, but email us saying, man, how in the world could you forget that band?
Yes, sir. So don't forget to vote for us. Anything else, guys?
I think, guys, hey, send us some sponsors, guys. We really need it, man.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Or cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. We accept any kind of forms of currency.
I can tell you, postal money orders are cheaper than bank checks. So if you want to save yourself about $5, do that way.
So anyway, for Concert Blast, this is Tom signing off.
And this is Brian signing off.
And this is Mike signing off. God bless you.
I want to thank you for letting me be myself again.